Oh, thank you. Oh, we need the anointing. Come on, let's pray. We need the anointing. Thank you, Lord. But seriously, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your presence here tonight. God, we thank you that at the very beginning of this conference, that Holy Spirit, your presence is landing in this place. And Father, you are drawing near to hungry hearts. And your word promises that those who hunger and thirst for righteousness will be filled. And Father, we have come to this place this weekend to be freshly filled and saturated with your goodness, with your glory, with your presence and anointing in our lives. Father, we want to encounter you. We want to see you. We want to learn from you. Father, we want to grow closer to you over these next days. And Father, I do pray that there would be a launching of a whole new season in people's lives this weekend. That, Father, there would be a dramatic shift in the spirit that would take place in people's lives. That, God, your presence and anointing and word would encounter them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I was praying this afternoon in my hotel room, really praying over these meetings. And as I was praying through the schedule and praying over, you know, the course of the weekend, I felt certain prophetic themes God place on my heart for this weekend. So each session, we're going to focus in on some different things. But I really feel like there's going to be a theme that covers this weekend. And I'm going to start in just a minute from the scripture that we've already heard tonight in Psalm 46. But there really is going to be a theme of supernatural breakthrough in people's lives. And I feel like this weekend, significant breakthroughs are going to happen in your life. And God is going to release keys, prophetic keys to us that will not only release breakthrough, but establish people in their breakthrough. And I don't know about you, but I am ready for a whole new anointing, a whole new season, a whole new manifestation of the glory of God in my life and in your life tonight. And I decree it over you from the beginning of this night tonight that you are stepping into a new place of breakthrough. You are stepping into a new anointing. You are stepping into a fresh place in God. No matter what you have walked into this place with tonight, no matter what circumstances you have walked into this place with tonight, God is above it all. And you're going to get a breakthrough. Oh, hallelujah. I'm going to declare it again. You're going to get a breakthrough. And I love the theme of this weekend, the river of God. Are you ready for the river of God? Not only to do something in you, but to do something through you. Because we're going somewhere, praise God. In Psalm 46, I want to read this and just make a comment as we launch into tonight. God is our refuge and strength. I love how the Amplified says it. Mighty and impenetrable. A very present and well-proved help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change and the mountains be shaken into the midst of the seas. Do we see anything shifting and changing in the earth today? Do we see things shaking in the earth today? Yeah, there's a lot of things shaking. There's a lot of things shifting and changing and moving. Though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling and tumult, there is a river. In other words, despite all of this, despite the shaking and the shifting and the changing and all that's happening, we will not fear no matter what happens around us. We will not fear. Why? Because there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. Oh, praise God. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. Okay, so there's a lot of things moving around us on the earth today, but we have a prophetic promise from God. No matter what's moving around us, God says, you will not be moved. You will not be moved. You know why? Because there's a river. And that river is going to make you happy. I said that river is going to make you happy. And I'm going to say it until you get happy. The river of God. Oh, it's one of the things I love about the river of God and the presence of God. In his presence is fullness of joy. What an amazing promise that no matter what is happening around you. Now you can say globally what is happening. You can say nationally what is happening. You could say locally what is happening. You could say in your home what is happening. You could say in your family what is happening. No matter what things seem at times to be out of our control, in the midst of what is out of our control, there is a river on the inside of us that makes us glad, that gives us peace, that gives us joy, that causes us not to fear no matter what is going on around us. And I think this is the launching place tonight. Right here. This is the launching place tonight. And you know, when the river's flowing, don't just stand on the riverside and watch the river flow by. Jump on in. And I'm here tonight at the opening of this great conference to say, jump on in. The water is fine. Jump on in to everything God has for you. And I encourage you tonight, don't miss your moment this weekend. We're here, we're consecrating ourselves, we're giving ourselves, we're giving time, energy, we're giving space to God. Not just to have some meetings, but to have an encounter. To go to a new level. To get some breakthrough. So this is where we're launching from. And prophetically, one of the things that I really feel strongly in the hour that we're in, the new season that we're in, I don't think it's a coincidence that this weekend, if you're familiar with the calendars and the Hebrew calendar, the Jewish calendar, on Sunday's Rosh Hashanah, which is the head of the year. And this is, you know, the Hebrew calendar, if you study that out, it's different from our calendar. But really, the head of the year is this Sunday. It's the head of the year. It starts the new year on the Hebraic calendar. So I really feel this weekend is significant as we go into this weekend. Look, get ready for a whole new start in your life. A whole fresh anointing. And I want to speak into this prophetic season we are in right now out of Psalm 92, verse 10. Psalm 92, verse 10. It says, but my horn you have exalted like that of a wild ox. I am anointed with fresh oil. I am anointed with fresh oil. And I believe the prophetic season that we are coming into right now, the new season, as things shift and come into the new, don't be surprised if God gives you new vision. Don't be surprised if God doesn't give you some new creative ideas. Don't be surprised if God doesn't release something revived and awakened on the inside of you. Awakening starts on the inside. It's not just on the outside. And we're going to learn something about revival this weekend. That revival is not just something you attend. Revival is what you become. Oh, hallelujah. And there's a river on the inside, and that river is not going to stay on the inside. It is going to flow on the outside. And in this new season, there is a fresh oil that God wants to anoint you with. A fresh anointing for a new day. And you know, I thank God for every anointing we have ever experienced in our lives. I look back over my life and I thank God for the anointing that I've experienced up to this day. I thank God for the healings we've seen, for the moves of the Holy Spirit we have seen, for the lives we have seen transformed under that anointing. But there's something on the inside of my heart that is being stirred and being awakened that I know that no matter what oil we have experienced up till this point, there is a fresh oil and a fresh anointing for today. That no matter how great yesterday's anointing was, you cannot just coast on yesterday's anointing. There is a fresh anointing for today. There's a fresh anointing for the assignment God has for you today. Now, let me just say this. I believe God is giving assignments to people. I believe God is giving divine assignments into people's hearts. Good works prepared for them to do before the foundation of the earth. But in order for you to fulfill what God has for your life, you have to be anointed for it. Because I'll tell you this, no matter how great you are in your natural self, to achieve what God wants us to do and what's in his heart, we need the anointing on our lives. And I'll just say this, if you're not praying some prayers that scare you, you're not praying big enough. And if you're not praying some prayers that scare the enemy, you're not praying big enough. Don't pray comfortable prayers. Don't dream comfortable dreams. Dream something from the mind and heart of God that is so big that you wonder, God, how could I ever achieve this? That is the exact kind of dream God wants to give you. And I'm going to tell you, these dreams are not just for pulpit preachers. It's for the whole body of Christ. If that's Jesus, tell him I said hi. Sometimes he calls in. Oh, hallelujah. Fresh oil. He's anointed my head. Okay, now Psalm 23. I want to read a scripture from Psalm 23. These are my foundation scriptures here. Psalm 23. I'm going to read verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup runs over, or my cup overflows. Again, you anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Can I tell you something that I love about the anointing? The anointing of God. What is the anointing? The anointing is the manifest power of God that comes from the presence of God. What I love about this anointing, this oil, is that it lifts the limits off. It lifts off the natural limits. Things that we could never accomplish on our own, God has a way through the anointing of lifting those limits off. Now, I'm going to read a testimony to you. I love using all forms of technology to touch people with the anointing of God. I love using the iPhones, the internet, all that stuff. And we have a YouTube channel. So the reason we opened up a YouTube channel was because there's a lot of unsafe people that are on YouTube. There's a whole harvest field out there. And so we put up teachings and different things on YouTube. So a man was going on the internet, and I want to read to you his testimony that he wrote in. Now, he's not a Christian, or I should say, when he had this encounter, he wasn't a Christian. And this is what he writes into us. So he was on YouTube, and he stumbled across our channel on YouTube, and he says, this, I was experiencing serious lower intestinal dysbiosis. That's an intestinal condition. He said, I was feeling exhausted from the pain and the suffering that it had caused for months, that I actually said a prayer asking for help to any God that would listen. Now that's a prayer of desperation. To any God that would listen. And I've been a New Ager for many years. And somehow I typed in healing prayer, looking for New Age prayer stuff. And I found a YouTube with Matt Sorger that said prayer for healing. Jehovah Sneaky. Now, I remember. See, and God is outside time and, you know, he's outside of this whole time and space thing. He's bigger than all of it. And I remember the day I was in my office in Long Island, New York, and this anointing hit me in my office. This healing anointing came on me. And I turned to my media guy and I said, grab the camera and start rolling right now. And he put the camera on me and started filming it. And I just started praying healing for people that would watch this over the camera. And I started calling out words of knowledge for healing. And this, as this anointing came on me, we caught it on camera and we put it up on YouTube. Now, you have to understand, that was months before this man saw the video. Months before. And as I'm calling out words of knowledge, this is what, he doesn't know it's a word of knowledge. He doesn't know the Christian terminology. But this is what he says. He says, I typed in healing prayer and I found a YouTube with Matt Sauger, prayer for healing. And Matt spoke directly to the area in my stomach. And I was crying and I felt a jolt hit my body. AKA Holy Spirit. Word of knowledge for healing. He didn't understand what was happening. But all of a sudden, he's watching this video and I speak directly to his physical infirmity. And he feels the power of God touch his body. And he says this. He says, the only thing helping me now is watching all of Matt's videos. I love this. I love this stuff. A new ager who doesn't know anything about Jesus stumbles looking for help, finds now teachings about God and about Jesus, and he's learning the truth. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Look, if he's not saved yet, he's on his way. Oh, praise God. Because, you know, there's only two people, those who are saved and those who are about to be saved. Praise God. But I love how the anointing can touch people right through a computer screen months after something was recorded. That's how big God is. That's how the anointing can operate in you and through you and take all the limits off of what you would experience in your own natural self. And I've experienced this in ministry where, you know, I've been put in situations where it's like, God, you know, there's some limits here. How do we deal with this situation? And, you know, I find myself praying a lot for different situations and sick people and all different scenarios. And I remember a day where I was invited into the hospital to pray for a young lady. She was a teenager and she was dying of an eating disorder. She was down to 75 pounds. It was like a skeleton, and all of her organs were shutting down. And the next door neighbor told the parents of the girl, oh, we have this, you know, I know this young man, Matt, he could come and pray. And the parents were so desperate, they said, sure, he could come and pray. So I go to the hospital, and the nurse is standing outside the door of her hospital room. And she looks at me, and she says, who are you? And I said, well, the family has asked me to come and pray. And she said, oh, no one's supposed to be in this room. You're not allowed to come in. She looked at me and she said, you have 5 minutes and then you have to leave. And I thought to myself, God, what am I going to do in 5 minutes? How can I help this young lady who's already had hours of counseling, medical attention, and she's still starving to death? What can I do in 5 minutes? You realize the limitations on that. That in 5 minutes, what can you do in the natural to turn this girl's life around? A lot of natural limitations. So I walk into the room. The young lady is laying in the bed underneath her, you know, blankets there. And she's so under what she's under. She's just looking down. And she didn't say one word to me the whole time. I looked at her and I said, you know, your family asked me to come and pray for you. Can I pray for you? And she nodded her head like this and never said one word. And I never sat there and tried to counsel her. I put my hand on her shoulder. And as I touched her, I went into word of knowledge and discerning of spirits. And I began to discern by the heart of God every root that was causing her eating disorder. And I began to see all the points in her life that opened up a door for this eating disorder to afflict her. So, you know, I didn't get all Pentecostal on her. You know what I mean by that, right? Pentecostal. Yeah, have you ever seen a Pentecostal preacher? Come on! You know, you got the organ. Ah, you know, they scream a little bit. When they lay hands on you, they lay hands really hard. You know, it's like they smack you. They don't really lay hands on you. They kind of smack you. Whoa, and then you get whiplash. You need healing after they pray for you. So I didn't get all Pentecostal on her, but, you know, I prayed gently, but with the authority of Jesus, with the authority of Christ. And I just began to speak out the things that I saw. And I said, amen. And I walked out of the room. My 5 minutes was up. And like a month goes by. And I'm thinking to myself about a month later, I wonder whatever happened with that young lady. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, I haven't heard anything. You know, she probably died. Man of great faith and power. I'm like, she probably died. You know, that's what I'm thinking to myself. And then I get a phone call from the neighbor. Matt, did the family call you? And I'm like, no, the family never called me. They never called you? I'm like, no. And I'm bracing myself now for the news. No, the family never called me. And she said, oh, the day after you prayed, the day after, she started to eat again. And over the month, she's gained 25 pounds. And they've released her from the hospital to go back home with her family. Praise God. That's what the anointing of God will do. And that's why I have such a conviction in my heart. God, let us never, as a church, let us never get so professional and so organized that we organize your presence right out of the church, or that we organize your presence right out of our life. You know what I'm saying? And I think there's something to just coming to God hungry and coming to God thirsty and coming to God desperate and knowing that you need him. That's a good place to be. Knowing that you need him. Knowing that you can't do it all on your own. Whether it's your own struggle that you're facing or the struggle that another person is facing. That in and of yourself, you don't have all the answers, but we know one who does have all the answers. And his name is Jesus. Where nothing is impossible for him. It's a realm of glory where nothing is impossible for God. It's a realm of faith where we understand God in the natural. I got a lot of limits. A lot of limits in my own life. Maybe even in my own self. But God, there's no limits in you. All things are possible for you. Only believe and all things will be possible. And here it says that you anoint my head with oil and my cup runs over. Everyone say runs over. Everyone say overflow. Because I was already hearing, even in the worship being sung tonight, the theme of overflow. There is a river and God wants that river to overflow. There is an anointing, and God wants that anointing to overflow. And this is one thing I know about the heart and nature of God. It is so important. Have you ever taken a step back, and I've done this, take a step back and really start to ask yourself some questions like, God, who are you? Have you ever asked that? Like, have you ever stopped to ponder who God is? God, who are you? You're spirit, your light, your truth, your love. Who are you, God? What are you, God? How are you, God? And just try to comprehend the invisible God. And I've asked God these questions because I want to know him. I want to know him. So I ask God, who are you? How are you? What are you? Where are you at? And I asked these kind of questions. And one day as I was pondering this, this thought came to me from the Holy Spirit. Look at Jesus and look at the Gospels and study the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. Look at the words that he spoke. Look at the actions. Look at his behavior. Look at everything about Jesus. And when you see Jesus, you see God. Jesus was the exact representation of the invisible God. The Bible says he spoke what he heard his father say. He did what he saw his father do. And his father is the invisible God. But everything Jesus did, he did on purpose. Everything Jesus did, he did it with intention, revealing to us the nature and character of the invisible God. So if you've ever asked yourself these questions, who is God? What is God like? I want to know him in a deeper way. All you have to do is open up the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and start to reread all of the life of Jesus. And you will see revealed through every word and every action the very nature and character and ways of the invisible God. So I look at this concept of God anointing us with oil and our cup running over, our cup overflowing. Let me just say this. God does not want to anoint you just so that you can survive your life. He anoints you so that you can thrive and overcome. And Jesus said, I have come to give you life and life more abundantly until it overflows. The life of God, the life that he's given us, is not just to survive the next day. It's not just to get through our life or survive our life. This life is not meant just for survival. God wants to anoint you to the point where you are so overcoming that you actually wake up on Monday morning and you have joy. That you actually are able to overcome worry and anxiety and have a heart filled with peace. That you're not dragging yourself from one day to the next. Come on, have you ever had a day like that where you just, where, look, we've all had survival days. I call them diaper days. Where you're trying to survive that day, okay? Look, I know this is life, and I know we all go through stuff, and there are days that could be like that. But God doesn't want a survival day to be a survival life. He wants your overall life to be marked with his abundant life. Amen? And I really think sometimes that's a choice where we choose. We make a conscious determination. I am not going to just survive my life. I am going to maximize every day, every moment, every second that God gives me. I'm going to maximize my life. I'm going to maximize it in my relationship with him. I'm going to maximize it in my attitude, in my behavior, in my thoughts, in what I choose to do with my life. I'm going to maximize it. I'm going to experience his abundant life, his joy, his peace, his anointing, his presence that overflows. So now let me say this about the nature of God and about the anointing. This is very important. God does not want to anoint you just for your own breakthrough. He wants to anoint you to the point where not only do you get a breakthrough, but you are so anointed with the Holy Spirit that there is a dimension of overflow happening in your life to where your breakthrough becomes a breakthrough for somebody else. Not just a breakthrough in you, but a breakthrough through you. It's okay, it's okay. Yeah, that's a good part to say amen. Oh, yeah. I'm going to make you Pentecostal yet, praise God. No, but it's true. God doesn't want to anoint you just for yourself. The anointing will give you a breakthrough. It will. But God doesn't want to anoint you just for your own breakthrough. He wants you to come into this dimension of what we call overflow, so that not only are we getting healed and we getting free and are we getting, you know, whatever it is that we need from God in our soul and our mind and our body, whatever it is that we need from God. And I know a lot of times people are motivated to draw near to God because of their need. But at some point, It's got to become bigger than our own need. Where, yes, we know God loves us. He cares about us. He's going to help us and he's going to strengthen us. He's going to help us, you know, overcome and be healed and be whole on the inside. But it doesn't end there. God is not a God of just enough. He's a God of more than enough. And we need to get a revelation of this aspect of the heart and nature and character of God. That he is not a God of just enough. He is a God of more than enough. And sometimes we got to hear it a few times. Not just enough. You see, when we have a vision of God where he's a God of just enough, then our faith is, God, anoint me or help me just so that I can get what I need and get my breakthrough or get my healing or get my freedom. Just enough, God, just enough anointing, God, to survive this day, or just enough anointing, God, to get over this struggle or to overcome this temptation. Just enough anointing. God doesn't want to give you just enough. He wants to give you more than enough. More than enough of his anointing in your life. And how do I know this? Well, I look at the life of Jesus. Do you remember when there were 5,000 men, not including women and children, probably 15,000 altogether, 15,000 people. And the disciples are like, Jesus, send these people away. There are too many of them. We can't feed them all. The need is too great. Send them away, Jesus. And Jesus turns to them and he's like, feed them. And in their minds, they're seeing their limitation. And they're saying, send away, it's impossible. And Jesus is like, feed them. And here's all of the grown-up disciples all thinking, what is he saying? And then in the middle of all that, there's a little boy that comes forward with some loaves and fish. A little boy. Now, just make a note of this. In the Bible, Jesus never calls us his adults. He always calls us his children. So no matter how old we get, we are never too grown up to be God's adult. We are always his children. And here was a little child, a little boy, that had a faith. That was like, Jesus, I know this doesn't look like much, but here, if it helps, here it is. And he gives Jesus the few loaves and few fish. And Jesus takes it. And we know what he does. Number one, he thanks God for it. Number two, he blesses it. And then number three, he breaks it. And puts little pieces in all the hands of the disciples. Imagine this picture. All the disciples, grown-up disciples, are sitting there with a little piece of fish and bread in their hand. And they're looking down, and I'm sure there was at least one of those disciples that thought to themselves, lunch. For me. Just enough. Just enough for me. All you people, go away. Go away. This is just enough for me. I'm sure one of them thought it. And then Jesus turns to them after he's put it all in their hands, and he says, okay, turn around. Turn around and start to give it away. And I'm sure as they were moving, they were like, this is going to be gone real fast. No miracle had happened yet, no sign, no wonder. But as they take what's in their hand and start to give it to the next person, in that moment of action, a miracle goes into action. And suddenly what's in their hand starts multiplying. And somewhere along the way, the multiplication happened to the degree where they could no longer hold in their hands what started in their hand. And they had to get baskets. And by the time 15,000 people were fed, there were 12 basketfuls. Now, if God was a God of just enough, when that last person was fed, the multiplication would have stopped and there would have been nothing left over if he was a God of just enough. But in this illustration of Jesus, in this divine miracle encounter, At the end of everyone being fed, there are 12 basketfuls left over, one for each disciple, telling me the heart and nature of God, that he is a God of more than enough. Not just enough, but more than enough. Oh, hallelujah. And look, sometimes we come to God with our life. I don't know if you've done this. I have done this before. I come to God with my little life and I say, God, here's my little life. Here's whatever strength I think I have. Here's all the weaknesses I have. And I put it in your hand, God. And you see, when you put even what looks like a little, or in the natural, it looks insignificant, you put it in the hands of God. He has a way of taking that and multiplying it to the point where the impact that is released through your life ends up being way more than what it started out with in the natural. And that's why we're here tonight. Isn't that why we're here? To give our lives to God. To say, God, here's my life. Here's my strengths. Here's my weaknesses. Here's my availability. Here is my free will of what I choose to do with my life. Here's the provision of my life. Here's the giftings of my life. Here's everything, God. You put it in the hands of God, and a supernatural multiplication of more than enough starts to happen. I love what Heidi Baker has said, and I learned this from her. And she said this so eloquently. It's not either or. It's both and more. And what does that mean? She used to take the flip-flops off her feet and give them to the people in the garbage dump in the mission field. And she would walk around barefoot with no flip-flops. And God said to her, you can have flip-flops too. And she said, no, God, the need is so great, I have to give them away to everyone else. And God said, how big do you think I am? I could give everyone else flip-flops and give you flip-flops too. And she got a revelation of the nature of God. And it affected her faith to believe God for provision in her own life. And so many flip-flops were given to her that she had so many extra that she could give them all away to everyone that had no shoes. And she still had shoes on her own feet. Oh, praise God. It's like you can give away everything you have. And when the anointing of God touches it and the faith of God is in your heart because you have a revelation of the nature of God. Look, having a revelation of the heart of God is what gives you faith. And when you have faith, that's when the impossible becomes possible. That's when the little becomes multiplied. And that's when the overflow happens. Overflow. Everyone say overflow. My cup runs over. I really believe that God wants to so saturate us with his presence this weekend that we become so saturated with God that everywhere we go, we overflow this anointing and this life and this provision and this healing and this breakthrough and this freedom that is on the inside of us to other people around us. And you know what I've discovered? You know what I've discovered? You know, because I'll tell you my life. My life is airports, hotels, and meetings with beautiful people like you. This is pretty much my life. A lot of days in airports. Airports are great places to either have your flesh really tested or to really show the glory of God and reveal the glory of God. And sometimes both happen at the same time. And I wish I could say I passed every test. I wish I could say I was like Paul and Silas just praising God in the prison. Sometimes I haven't passed the test. But I tell you what, God, I learned this lesson. I learned this lesson. I walked into an airport. This was something that had happened to me. I walked into an airport and I went up to the ticket counter to get my ticket to get on the plane. And when I walked up to the ticket counter, something very unusual happened. The woman behind the counter goes like this. Wow! How would you react? I walked up to the counter and she goes like this, wow. And then she throws her body over the, I'm sure she was breaking protocol. She threw her body over the counter. She goes, oh. And she looks at me. She says, oh, you're so nice. You're so kind. You're so loving. I love you. And I was so shocked. I'm like, what is going on? And I just looked at her and I said, I love you too. And she gives me my ticket and I'm walking away. And she's yelling out after me, I love you. And I'm like, I love you too. And everyone is turning and watching. And I got a revelation that when I walked up to that ticket counter, God walked up with me. And there was no worship team with me. There was no crowd of Christians with me. It was just me. And I wasn't even praying at the moment. I wasn't even singing out loud. I was just being myself. But you know what I learned? That even when I'm just me, God is still on the inside of me. He's in me, with me, everywhere I go. Everywhere I go. And when I walked up to that counter, God walked up with me. And she was overcome by the presence of God. Shocked by the presence and love of God. And all she could say was look at me and be like, I love you. Oh, love, love, love. I mean, she was just feeling love. And look, I say this, church, let's get so filled with God that we shock people with his love everywhere we go. That we shock people with his goodness everywhere we go. We just shock them into the revelation of who God really is. By overflow. By being so full that everywhere we go, that river that makes glad the city of God, that river is overflowing out of us and touching the people around us. Oh, praise the Lord. This is what we were all destined for. This is what we were created for. To be living, walking, breathing representatives of the invisible God. Because he's in us. And he flows and overflows through us. There's a presence we carry. There is. There's a presence we carry as Christians. Sometimes we don't even know that we carry God's presence. Because we get so distracted with other stuff. We get so distracted with stress and with things that just, you know. Come on, have you ever gotten distracted with something causing you stress? And at that moment, you're not like, oh, I feel the glory. You know, you're like, ah, I want to kill someone. You know what I mean? It's like you just feel the stress of situations or circumstances. Right? You're not necessarily floating in the glory at that moment, but God is in you. He's always in you. By the Holy Spirit, he's in you. I remember another time I was at the mall. And I was walked up to a counter and I'm standing there looking at the counter and there's a clerk behind the counter. And I look up and the lady's looking at me like this. And I look down at her. I'm like, hi. She's like, hi. She's like, are you a doctor? I'm like, no, I'm not a doctor. I did study pre-med in college, but I'm not a doctor. Why? She's like, oh, because when you're standing there, I feel so much peace with you standing there. I said, well, I know a doctor. Dr. Jesus, Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace. Look, Prince of Peace. Lives on the inside of you. That means you carry the atmosphere of peace. He anoints you with the oil of joy. He anoints you with fresh oil. And that overflows from you. See, God has called you to be a kingdom influencer. That everywhere you go, you influence people with the life of God. with the presence of God, with the joy of God, with the peace of God, with the anointing of God. I believe you could be so saturated with God that your whole house gets anointed. That your whole home gets anointed. That when people walk into your home, they walk into the presence of God. I say, let that be our goal. Let that be our goal. That we cultivate so much of the presence of God in our lives that when people come near us or even in our homes, that they walk right into the presence of God. I remember growing up, my mom would counsel young ladies that needed help, and they would come to our home. And I remember one young lady came for a prayer for like freedom or breakthrough in her life. And she walked into the house. My mom never even had to take authority over the enemy. She walked into the home, came under the presence of God, and before the conversation was over, she was totally free because of the anointing that abided there. You see, you can cultivate the anointing in your home. Oh, praise God. You can cultivate the anointing in you and in your home so that when people come in, they get free and they get healed. Oh, praise God. Can I tell you one more story? Okay. There was a gentleman that came over to our home, struggled with schizophrenia and mental conditions, always felt tormented by demons. He would feel them biting his legs. He was just tormented by these things. He walked into our home, stood in the kitchen, and as he stood in the kitchen, he put his hands in the air. And he said, I believe in Jesus. I'm saved. And he starts proclaiming faith in Jesus out of nowhere. Spontaneously, he comes under the presence, comes under the anointing. Throws his hands in the air. I believe in Jesus. And he said, they're gone, they're gone. And all the things that he felt tormenting him. When he walked into the house, they had to go out. Because greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. And when he walked into our home, the presence of God was there. And those things had to go. And they went. And as he walked in, he walked right into freedom.